The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on August 24, 2025. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you today. Do not seek after truth. That's a pretty strong line in Sensong, the third patriarch of Zen in China, in his Xinqing Ming, which is a poem of many couplets. And he has a line in there, do not seek after truth. It's pretty straightforward. Why? Why would he say that? Any takers on that? Actually, I just want you to kind of think about that for a minute. Well, yeah, David.
Can't catch it.
You can't catch it.
Yeah, you're just grasping at something else.
Grasping at something else, yeah.
It's already there.
It's already there? Yeah, it's already here. Yeah. Yeah. So do not seek after truth. But for many people, I think, to enter into a practice like this or into a religious activity of some kind, or just in life in general, are we not seeking for truth, at least at times? Sometimes maybe we don't really want that. We want something devious or hidden or whatever. Do not seek after truth. The answers you gave, the responses you gave are all very good. But there's a subtlety in this. We can say something like that and then answer it quickly and sort of gloss it over without really getting down into what's taking place here, what's being pointed out. This is Sensong. This is early Zen in China. Really getting to the point. Do not seek after truth. We also have a teaching in Zen that Buddhas do not seek. I once had it was a cousin of mine, actually. And she, when I got into Zen more and more, practicing more, and she referred to me as a seeker. But at this point, I already understood what Sensong was saying here. And I said, no, I'm not a seeker. But then you could take that, and I think maybe to some extent she did, that I was saying that I found something. I found it. But, one of your responses was, kind of, I think, might have been you, Andrew. Yeah, it kind of takes care of that one. I mean, what would it be? But we have this other teaching in Zen, it appears, that Buddhas do not seek. And if we were to seek, there's another tradition altogether, it's not Buddhism, where some wise man said that, you can't find it by seeking, you know, but those who do not seek won't find it, something on that sort. But all of this, in talking this way, there's like an it there. We're assuming something, an it. We seek it, don't seek it. You don't need it, it's already here. I think as Nancy pointed out, I forget now which one of you said what, but all very good responses. But this matter of seeking, we just look at this very carefully. Say the way Nagarjuna would. And he would say, well, seeking after truth, how would you recognize it if you were to find it? If you don't know what you're looking for, you're seeking it out. You're seeking it out because you don't know it. I mean, if you knew it, why would you seek it out? I'm using this term it because we might be thinking in this way. As if there were a thing there, it, something to go after, something to figure out, something to get, something to own, something to understand, to have some ideas about. So then you can talk about it. You can point it out. But that would just be an it, a thing, like other things that people will reach for or come up, well, here's the answer, this is it. And this provides grounds for us fighting, arguing, as if any of us have it, and something that we understand and have an idea about, we can speak of it, and through our speech, direct people to it, maybe something on that order. But Buddhas do not seek. Those who are awake do not seek. Why not? Well, as I said, well, if you see the truth, if you understand the truth, then you don't have to seek it because now you have an understanding of it. We might think that way because we're probably thinking in terms of an it or thingness or something there, and then here's me here, and I understand that, so I don't need to seek it. But if you don't know what it is, how can you recognize that? And if you do know, if you do understand, then again, why seek? No need to seek. There's something very subtle in here, and I can't exactly spell it out for you. You have to just see. This overall picture, this whole fuzzy field that we might be looking at here. And what is taking place in all of this? Chen Song, he comes immediately back. These are incoming couplets, his poem. And that's the opening line of this particular couplet. Do not seek after truth. And he says, only cease to cherish opinions. I remember when I first encountered this, I thought, what does that have to do with this? I mean, you know, it seemed like it wasn't even really connected at first for me. And this was early on when I was first in reading Zen, and I encountered that line. But do not seek after truth. You want to really pin down something there? But form an opinion, an idea about that. Do not seek after truth. There's things we can say. There's things that I was pointing out about it already this morning. Yeah. But I hope I didn't give you anything that you can get hold of. As if now, and that's the truth. Well, how would you know if you don't already see it? And if you do already see it, well, then why would you go seeking? So Sensang, he says, just, how's he put it? Do not cherish opinions. Yeah. Because we will, in our minds, we will get hold of an idea, a concept, something. I mean, my God, don't we need something? We need something to hang on to or to rest our feet upon, that, you know, some solid ground. We need something to stand on, something to uphold. But again, what? And how would you recognize if you don't know what that is when you're starting out here? What are you looking for? What are you seeking out? And if you do understand, if you do realize this, well, again, why would you seek? Buddhas don't seek. I'm hoping I'm giving some sense as to why Buddhas, there's no need for this. And your answers already, maybe it was David's, but that's already kind of back in the answer there. It's in what you said. It's what you're observing about this. These are good responses you have. But I'm just trying to reach in, get really distill out what it is that Sensong is pointing out here. So cease to cherish opinions. And we have opinions, of course, about all sorts of things, you know. I don't know that we could even be without opinions. Well, maybe we can. But they might slip in here and there in very gentle, soft, quiet ways. But we should always be careful to not lose sight of that and realize when we're taking hold of something and then trying to push that through as if this is it. And you don't see this yet, and I'm trying, you're wrong. And we start thinking like this. Very dualistic, argumentative. Room for now for anger and irritation. Just cease from, do not seek after, cease to cherish opinions. Just cease to cherish opinions, these things that may come up in your mind, a thought about this or that. This is vitally important, to realize this and to realize it in yourself when this is happening, when this is taking place, when this is what you are walking out of or walking with or whatever. You're holding to this. And it's there. You might not even realize this is so quietly there. Maybe even saturating everything in how you view the world and understand things. And it could all be very, I'm trying to stay clear of the word good, but quiet, settled, sane, stable. Not bad at all, except it's got Velcro on it if it's a thing, and you have an opinion here. I remember in my early days after getting to know Katagiri, and there was another student like myself who was pretty new. I'd been studying Buddhism for quite a few years before I met Katagiri, but we were all pretty new to all of this. But this one person had expressed that, well, this is just the Buddha's, this Buddha teaching here, Buddha Dharma. I don't know if she used the word Buddha Dharma. But what this really comes down to, this is just the Buddha's opinion. And of course, other people, other religions, other political points of view, whatever. They have other opinions. They have theirs, And this is the opinions we offer here in Buddhism. But that isn't right. I was still a fairly young student. I might have been at it 9 or 10 years by that time, maybe. But I realized that, no. This is different. I had also been studying Nagarjuna for a few years by that time, on my own. And I realized that, no, this is not about opinion. And then I realized, too, that, Buddhism, a at least Buddha Dharma, Buddhism maybe, is a belief system. But Buddha Dharma, this is not a belief system. This is not about holding views, having a view, and this is the correct view, and it's better than these other views, or this one's right, and those aren't even right, those are wrong. It's not like this at all. We have this in the Kakaya Nagoda Sutra. A young man comes up to the Buddha, and well, I don't know if he's young, but he comes to the Buddha and says, people say that this is right, and this is right, and this, you know, right view. Different people are pointing out all these things that they claim is right view. They can't all be right, he points out. And the Buddha congratulated him on pointing out something that, yeah, there's doubt there in that. And look at this world, though, where we are. The people have their opinions about this or that, and they vary with each other. They conflict at times. People get into arguments, fights. We even go to war about such things as this. And this seems to be the human world as it has gone on for millennia, really. But does this have to be the case? This involves seeking that kind of a mistake and living out of that kind of confusion. This involves seeking and finding and grasping and holding. This is what Sensang is referring to, just cease to cherish opinions. Because something my teacher said centuries later, I've given it to you many times, whatever you think, this is delusion. That might be going too far. If my teacher were to say that whatever you think, this is illusion. What you're grasping here is an illusory appearance of some sort, of something or another, some idea, some concept, some person, some place. But whatever you think, whatever you're grasping there, whatever you're holding, he says, yeah, that's delusion. Well, it's illusory. And I would just simply add that to make it delusion is that you believe it. You think it's true. This, it has to be an opinion. This thing that you're holding, this held view, which is what the person was asking of the Buddha, he was talking about right view. So the Buddha's teaching right from the very start is not about holding views. He did talk about right view, but right view is a view that's not held. It's not a frozen, a held view would have to be a frozen view. There it is, here it is. We come back to this and there it is. It's frozen. It's like the view from on high, it's given to us, and here's the truth, boom. Frozen, it's not living. It's a frozen view. And of course, there's all kinds of frozen views, and they don't all get along. This is where we are. One who is awake does not lose sight of this situation. Do not seek after truth. Just cease to cherish opinions. It's what Sensang is pointing out there. That now doesn't mean now that we have to take up a view. If you look very carefully at what Sensang has pointed to here, or what Nagarjuna or any of the great teachers, what they point out, what is their view? What is it? Do we think that, are they trying to hand us something? Are they trying to get something across to us? Of course, everything that we do, and we go to school, we do a lot of learning on the job, learning all kinds of learning, And we are acquiring things, knowledge and experience and all of this. And that through the experience it forms pictures and maps in our minds and of how to do things and how things are carried out or whatever. And we develop the muscle memory, so if it involves different kinds of maneuvers we have to make, we learn all of this stuff. But when it comes to truth with a capital T, Nagarjuna, this is why Nagarjuna points out two truths. There might be all sorts of relative truths within the various things that we hold and grasp and use and all of that, and that's perfectly fine. The awakened never speak out against that. It's in the grasping of it. Because all of that is illusory. And Gotagiri, when he said, you know, whatever you think, that's delusion. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you're grasping it, yes, that's delusion. It is possible to see all of this and to not grasp. And to make the various kinds of maneuvers we need to make to get along in life and that sort of thing. Morality, a correct understanding of morality now comes out of this, by the way. It's not about rules and regulations and thou shalt nots and that sort of thing. No, it's about seeing how things can work in harmony. And the steps we take toward remaining, you know, on a correct moral stance or whatever, is just simply to take those moves that will settle the situation, quiet the situation, not disturb or anger the other or allow yourself to be taken in by that. This is why the awakened, they don't lose sight of this. What is it that they're holding to, though? Were they to hold to any of these things, and well, now we're right back to business as usual, the way we normally operate. And that's not awakeness. And then you could say that, well, what I'm just pointing out now, well, that's a view too. But yeah, because I'm talking, and so it comes out like a view. But there isn't anything here about what I'm saying that you can get a grip on or hold to. Well, then you shouldn't wander off from that. I didn't say that. I point out the Buddhas, those who are awake, you know, this is where they are with this. You know. I didn't say that that's good, but it's of this nature. It's of, like this. And if we do take hold of this, and this is what we're pushing, here's the Buddha's truth and all of that. If we're operating in that way, there's the confusion. That's all illusory. And we take hold of it in any way whatsoever. Now there's the pain, the dukkha, the suffering, the sorrow, and the agitated mind, the angry mind, the fighting, you know, and all of that. Or it can work in such a way where you feel like you scored a victory over that one. Now you're feeling elated, and this is what happiness? No. It's all very confused. These teachings, you know, do not seek after, don't go looking for some particular thing to get hold of it? And now we're back in this stormy world. That's not what this is about. This is about seeing that, realizing that, and then cease to cherish opinions, cease to cherish views. This is what we have teachings like Dogen in his Shobogenzo Zumyanki. I used to know the book and chapter or verse, but somewhere in there, book 5 or something, where he says, I tell you, monks, the reason you don't wake up is because you don't let go of your views. This is so important. This is the heart of it. If you're interested in awakening, understand what's being pointed out here by Sensong and by Dogen and so many other places, Buddha to Kakaina. It shows up many places in our teachings. Recognize it when you see that and realize what it's pointing to. There's nothing there for you to grasp. Just see what the stormy and tossed about nature of mind is. and the release from that. The Buddha said, I only teach two things. One is dukkha, this pain, this suffering, this confusion, and release from dukkha. That's all this comes down to. But it is of this nature that I've been trying to point out in various ways. Are there things that I've said now this morning that you could grasp, or I put them out as if that's a thing you should hang on to? And this is, yeah, of course, you can take it that way. I'm not presenting it that way. I don't mean for you to take it in any way at all. Just look at this. But more than that, not look at that like an abstract thing out there. Let that reflect right back into this world that you're living out right now and in your own mind. Just come back to this. Every once in a while, just you need to come back and remind yourself of this. And of course, we get caught up with things tossed away all the time. I do too. I've understood this thing now for many, many years. I still get caught. It's very easy to do. But that's not the point. My teacher used to say as well that it isn't that we stumble and fall and get caught and this sort of thing. That's not the measure of our practice. The measure of our practice is in how quickly can we get back on the path. And it's been pointed out to us in many ways what stepping off the path is. This is just some small ways I've pointed out a few things here. But it's a matter of don't get angry with yourself or like you're bad, because that's a frozen view. It's like you're something now that's persisting and you're treating everything as though we're enduring, frozen, this is how it is, or how I am, or whatever. Just recognize that. Realize how fluid it all is. That's the life that's being lived. It's this utter fluidity of the whole thing, total impermanence. There's nothing frozen there to be held at all. It looks like we feel like we can get hold of this and that, and it might seem like it for a while. Just recognize the overarching what's taking place here. And recognize, watch your own mind, see when you're getting gripped by this or one thing or another. And it shows up in all kinds of ways. Like even in my little robe here, this is a rakusu. It's a small version of the full priest robe, which I have several. I had many other things too, garments and various things and instruments. I don't use those because over the years I started to realize how easily people get caught by that. I haven't totally gotten rid of it. I don't know, should I or shouldn't I? Am I not holding true then to what I understand or feel about this by not, I'm still wearing this sort of a thing? Yeah, we can see this is all with gripping and grasping. Can you see? Just right there, we're doing stuff like that. Just stop. That I'm wearing this or I'm not wearing this. Just stop. Watch your mind and stop. I don't have any big ideas about this or why I'm wearing it or and when I at times when I've stopped. Sometimes when we first opened Dharma Field, I think I was wearing the full robes. Because I think, we had a photograph on our website. I don't know if it's still there of me sitting here in my full robes. And we were sitting in Zazen. It was in the early days of Dharma Field. So I've gone through that. But my point here is that it's so easy to get hold of this or that or one thing or another. You know, but you said this and you said that. I don't have any held ideas about this. I really don't. I suppose, I have to wear something. So even if I came in with just a shirt and pants, and I guess I have done that. It got so hot this summer, I didn't want to wear this thing. This is just way too hot. But that's the reason I didn't wear it that day. Didn't have any other ideas beyond. But even that, is that the reason? I'm not going to fight over that. Watch your mind. Allow your mind to settle. That's what this practice is about. That's what these teachings are about. by the enlightened teachers that still gets through in the scriptures and things like that. There's a lot of stuff in our scripture that isn't helpful in that way. But the point is, whatever you're reading or anything else, don't lose sight of the whole, and don't lose sight of your mind. And if your mind is rattling about and struggling with something inside of the whole, just realize that. Realize what you're doing, and it's not necessary. And your mind can begin to resemble the whole. This is what awakening is. Don't hang on to that. I just said something there. Just drawing your attention to look in a particular direction momentarily. Don't hang on to it. But that's what these teachings are about, by the awakened teachers, not the confused stuff that gets commented on over and over in various ways and written out and in different doctrines are formed and different schools develop. Buddhist schools generally can get along with each other, maybe better than most, I don't know. Of course, now I'm just making a dogmatic statement there. What this is really about is just watch your mind and realize when you're caught up in delusion and confusion. Right now, our whole here in the West, in the U.S. anyway, we're running headlong into total insanity here, it looks like. It's going to be very chaotic. It already is. It's only probably going to get worse. Be aware of this and see if you can not contribute to it. Maybe help people notice where this is coming from. It's from grasped views. Not quite as simple as that, perhaps, but that's really at the heart of it. But that's what these teachings are. Nothing special. And it's not Buddha's opinion. It's not my opinion. I really don't have an opinion about this. I'm just trying to do something here maybe to kind of help you notice what causes the upheavals in our minds. You know, maybe we can step away. And all these teachings are pointing us in that direction. That's it. Not even saying that this is the right way. It is back to, well, the Buddha, as I gave that to you already. Yeah, there's dukkha. And then there's release from dukkha. He teaches dukkha to point it out and points that there's a way out of this, a way to back out of it. It doesn't mean to escape, to get away. No, it's full participation in the whole, in totality here. That is this way, too. And because sometimes people get interpreted that, and you're talking about. And a lot of people have done that. They've gone off with their spiritual practices and whatever, become hermits and that. And I don't even mean to say that's wrong. I've done a certain amount of that myself for a time, at various times in my life. But there's no particular thing here. I wouldn't say that's the way to what you need to do, or you know, or to avoid it. I'm not saying anything like that at all. But it's always just look and watch your mind. Okay, maybe I've said enough here, so I'll stop. Thank you. Any questions or any held views? You want to throw at me? Yeah, David?
Some people think they found truth by feeling an affinity for some idea.
Yeah.
It's manifestly not necessarily the truth, but they feel like it ought to be.
Yeah, that's our grasped views again, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's trouble with that now. If we keep looking at it, you'll see that. It'll cause disturbances in the world, with others, and with yourself. And it's just a matter of looking, learning to look, and with a kind of a dispassionate way. Because what it is we're talking about is, don't look at it holding the views that you're holding. Be aware when they start acting, okay, start to look at that too. You have to be extremely honest with yourself, totally honest with yourself if in this matter. If you want to wake up, this isn't about playing games. This isn't about looking like you're doing this. This is about doing this, and it doesn't look a particular way. Was there another? Yeah, there's one over here, I think.
You mentioned that fluidity.
Fluidity?
Fluidity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you mentioned impermanence. It seems to me, for me, it's that constant change of everything that sort of prevents me from reaching anything. It's gone. The minute you reach for something, it's already something else. So your comment about flu, particularly the storm, I think, storm of mind, the storm of the world, how can we grasp anything? It's no longer there.
Yeah, ultimately we can't grasp, yeah, you're right. But we think we can, and we try, and we're living out of that. And we're making that into kind of a solid thing. Oh, I know, if I get hold, I've just lost that now. And all of that stuff that comes with it. So even though you think now you have it, if you look carefully, you haven't really gotten hold of anything. And that's always the case. Yes, that's true. So we really can't grasp. But we live out of our confusion. And we think we can get hold of one thing or another. Or we want to bring about these kinds of results and fight against those. But this is it's just a stormy, painful world without any resolution, and we're totally caught in it, and we totally believe it, yeah. But it's just a matter of wake up. That's what this is called, is awakening. It's not about getting or acquiring or whatever. It isn't even about figuring it out. There's nothing to figure out. It's just see what's actually happening, not what we think is happening or what I want to make happen. Try to prevent from happening, all of that. In some limited ways, it might be good to, to act in these ways, but we can do it, you might want to prevent the small child from, eating marbles or something, I don't know. So there's times when we have to act, But again, we don't need to be caught by this. Just do it. And why would you stop, would you want to prevent that? Well, again, it's if something were to happen to that child, that's a disturbance now in the world. So it's always moving toward what will quiet this disturbance, both in our minds and in the life of others. And, so it's just simply, it's not acting out of right or wrong or good or bad. Those can't be established. We have plenty of teachings that point that out. But it's about just doing that which is... It's either out of the whole, which would be very quiet and still and calm, and we can move with that in view, or in breaking everything up and having one part arguing with, fighting with, whatever, trying to acquire, the other and that sort of thing. So it's very simple in that way, but it's not so easy to carry out. But our practice is to, first of all, realize what this is about here, and then see if you can just keep remembering to come back to it. I've been on to this now. I woke up to, I realized this. It's almost 50 years now, and I still can't live this out perfectly. And that's not the point. But the point is getting better and better, maybe, of when you realize you've stepped off. See if you can get back on the path. So that's really what this way is. Am I saying that, then this is better than other ways? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing, this is what it is. I don't want to rank it with other kinds of practices. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.